Well, I want to speak, maybe over the next few weeks. I never really know, but the Lord knows, and we have the Holy Spirit who is ever teaching us, guiding us and leading us, is he not? But I found myself, as I'm praying and waiting on God, that I believe we're seeing a work again, because God does things in seasons, but we're seeing a work now where I think we're going to see quite a deliverance taking place again on our minds. Now, God is always working with our mind, but there come seasons when God is delivering us from wrong attitudes, things that are wrong, where we're not thinking right, where those doors are still open to the powers of darkness to oppress, to buffet. That's really what I want to deal with. And we're going to call these teachings Unraveling the Mind. Unraveling the Mind. I always remember when reading Positive Thinking and Confession book. If you've not read that, please do. We have copies. Willingly we'll give them. Please read this, because this is an anointed book, very much delivering the mind, and it reveals to you Positive Thinking and Confession book, and it reveals to you how your mind has been under attack, how the powers of darkness have tried to mold your mind and thinking over the years. And the book very much opens with, like, the mind is like a field. And it's how you cultivate that field. It's what you put into it. And you can let that field just go wild with all its weeds and various things growing in it. Or you can cultivate that field and plant good, wholesome things into it. It's up to you, because that is what the mind is. Satan attacks in the mind. He cannot attack in your heart, your spirit, the new birth, but he will attack in the mind. Now, these people that preach once saved, always saved, I'm sorry, but they are deluded, because it's not in Scripture. And the point is, if you're once always saved, then Satan wouldn't bother attacking, deceiving the mind. He's not stupid, you know. He attacks the mind because that is where he can try to destroy you. Now, we know we walk by faith. We know there are two aspects to salvation. You are saved and being saved. But the point is that he attacks for that purpose, because he knows he can make shipwreck of people's faith. So he's not stupid. And so these people that delude themselves, once saved, always saved, it breeds a complacency. It breeds an attitude, well, I'm saved, I'm all right, I'm on my way to glory. Where's the overcoming? Where's the pressing in? Where's the real believing? No, we are aware what the Scriptures tell us. Now, of course, we know that we are saved by faith. That is our confession. And by faith we will make it into the kingdom of God. But there is only one who knows, whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he reveals to you your salvation. But it is still a walk of faith. So yes, we are on one side. Yes, we are eternally saved. But on the other side of it, we are believing, we are pressing through, and we are being saved. And it's all conditioned down to faith. So I just want to say that in this, in passing. But this unraveling the mind, this unraveling the mind. You see, we've been told over the years that the battle for man's mind is right in your head. Your battles are very often in the mind. You know, it's been raised, why is it that we're not going through the trials and tests and persecutions that the early church went through? Well, of course, the early church was sifted. We're not really going as yet through those physical trials where our faith is being eroded, is being squeezed, where we're not allowed to meet anymore like some Christians are. But we are going through battles, we're going through trials. And I want to suggest to you that in many ways we're going through equally, probably some have even said worse, trials and battles that even the early church didn't face. And that is, we're going through battles of centuries of unbelief. The church that has been almost in the dark ages. Society, culture, nations that have fallen away over the centuries from normality, you could say. Where we're now in a generation, and we believe that we're the last generation, that is probably the most depraved generation that has ever walked on planet Earth. You say to me, that seems very extreme, Pastor. After all, we have cars now, we have aeroplanes, we have drugs, we're looked after, we're provided for, we have a state, we have a health state here where we're provided for. We have insurances. We could just go on. But I'm still telling you that we're still the most depraved nation of people. Why am I saying this? Because this is the powers of darkness attack on man's mind. To rob you of depending upon God. To sear your minds. To confuse you. Until we have this religion today of humanism. That is the religion of today. Humanism is the epitome of idolatry. The raising up of man. The promotion of man. He has now become God, godlike. The powers of darkness have ravished man's mind and soul for centuries so that he can now in pride rise up that he has dominion over the world. I am God, I control it. And that, of course, is what the New Age is about. That is what Europe is about. Governments are about. So we are living in pretty bad times. And I have looked a bit at history over the years, and the early church did not live under such extreme control. Now, the Roman occupation was pretty strong and was trying to rule the world. But I don't think it's anything in comparison to what it is in these last days. In fact, we are told through the book of Daniel that Rome will emerge and is emerging again and will finally try to take the world over. He tried to do it and started failing and fizzling out in the last of the 3rd century, 4th century. But it never totally died. The imagery of the beast shows us this. So again, it's going to rise up and has been rising up to oppose itself against God. And this time, I believe the attack, the delusion, is for man's mind. And so the Christian faces the biggest battle, and it is your mind. And that is where the powers of darkness are attacking. Now, of course, it's obvious. Satan knows, because that is how he got Adam, Eve. He got them through the fruit, the passing of the fruit from the woman to the man, the seduction in the eyes. And so as a result of that, they fell. God never intended that man's mind should be given over to the powers of darkness, to Satan. Your mind, your brain, was created for the glory of God, to encompass God, to learn about him, to glorify him. The mind, the brain, is the most intricate part of the human body. And doctors, scientists still only know a fraction about the brain. We only use something like 10-15% of the brain today to its capacity. Why? Because the brain, the mind of man, was created for the glory of God. God is so big, so great, that he had to put that brain within man to begin to comprehend him and understand him. And Satan knew exactly where to attack man's mind, to stop that, to hinder that revelation, that understanding. Well, with that introduction, can God do anything about that? That's the question. Is God big enough, great enough? Well, I read to the children, didn't I, where Ezekiel prophesied to Israel, I will put a new heart and spirit within you, and I will cause you to come alive again and to walk in my ways. Ezekiel was bearing out his heart to that rebellious nation. I know you can't obey God. I know you can't keep his commandments. I know you can't walk in his ways. But if you just yield over to God and believe, God says, I will do it for you. And friends, that is what you're going to have to do with your mind. You cannot control your mind. You cannot control what comes into your mind. You cannot deliver yourself from your mind of the past and what has happened and what the powers of darkness have done and how it's tried to mold your mind. The moment you were born, Satan was working there with his demons, working on your mind, analyzing your mind, analyzing you, knowing exactly what sort of demons he can use to oppress and control the mind. Let's make no bones about it. And you and I could do nothing about it. And that is why God makes us desperate through these trials, because he shows us that he will renew the mind. He will deliver your mind. I will put my spirit within you, and I will cause you to live, to come alive. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You are the sum total of your thoughts. What you think is what you are. We heard a testimony this morning from our sister. She kept thinking that God didn't love her. And she read it, she heard it, she sat under sermons for years. But it still wasn't a reality. Why? Because God had to put it there. That's the point. And it's in his sovereign time. And what she was actually saying was that deliverance came to her mind. Suddenly the powers of darkness had to release. That door is finally closed, which worked rejection. Because that's what was being dealt with, you see. Now you can turn around and say, well, what was she having that all that trouble for? I don't have that trouble. Well, of course you don't. Because the demons working on your mind were working in a different way.
That's right.
Because they look at the personality, the character. Yeah. They look down the descendant line. You see? From third and fourth generations. And sometimes God delivers the mind through the casting out of spirits, demons. Sometimes we've had to minister that. Or sometimes God will just deliver you right in your seat where you're sitting through this message. And so I believe again we're going to see deliverance taking place, doors being closed, so that you can experience more of the blessing of the mind of Christ. Amen. And that is why the Holy Spirit is specifically working in this area. And you can look at this in two ways. You can look at it logically and say, oh, I think this is a good idea. The Holy Spirit's working on my mind. And that seems logical. But you see, God doesn't work with good ideas or that which seems logical. He knows how to deliver us. It was very interesting yesterday in the prayer meeting, because God was confirming to me yesterday in the prayer meeting this message over the next few weeks that he wants me to address. And praise him, he gave me a vision when we were interceding and praying. Right at the end, he showed me like a ball of string. And some of us keep string, don't we, in the cupboard. And I don't know about you, but string, or a ball of string, or loose string, is not the easiest thing to store. And if it's been there for a few years, suddenly you think, oh, I need to get that string. And you get that string out, and lo and behold, it's in a mess. And you have to sit down and try and unravel this string. And I'm sure we've all done it and seen the knots. And where you've got sort of the end of it, or where it starts, you try and follow it through. And it seems impossible. Where you think it's going, it doesn't. It's just impossible. And you can sit for hours trying to weave this through this string. And God was showing me, and he said, I am the only one that can undo this. Because that is what your mind has been. Like that ball of string, all tied up in knots and so forth. So it is a sovereign work of the Holy Spirit. Now Paul had something to say about this. And Paul addressed the church at Corinth with regard to this. Because the church at Corinth was a church, or was living in an area that prided itself in education, in logic. What you see, you work out things logically, intellectually. And of course, I don't have to tell you that. You were brought up with that in education, or university, or higher education. Logic must have an answer. And Paul came to this area with a message of the cross, which of course was going to be absolutely illogical, foolish, to an intellectual people. You see, the cross is an offence. The cross isn't a message that you can boast in. The cross will make you look foolish, rejected, unwise. They will regard you as a simpleton. You probably need psychological help. Sounds familiar? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's take it up from verse 6. And here Paul speaks about this spiritual wisdom. We are to have wisdom, but not the wisdom of the world, but the wisdom of God, which is different. Now, to receive the wisdom from above, the wisdom of God, God has to start to set deliverance in your mind. Every time we sit here and we receive this spiritual seed, this wisdom that comes from on high, there is no room for earthly wisdom. We have to decide whether we're going to hold on to this earthly wisdom the logic of wisdom of this age, or we're going to embrace the wisdom that comes from above. And when you settle that you want the word of God, this wisdom that comes from above, God has to start to set a deliverance in your mind in order to sow that seed into your heart, which we call faith. Amen. And so the battle is on. See? The battle starts. So here we are. So this is what he says here in 1 Corinthians 2, chapter 2, and let's take this up from verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, what are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the age for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would have been not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, eyes and deep things of God. For what man knows the same of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, nor, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Amen. Now, Paul is really going to the root of things here. What he's revealing is these battles. What he's revealing is that this is where God begins to work deliverance. And the teaching that God was going to bring to this church at Corinth, for some was going to be salvation and for other damnation. For some were going to embrace it as good news and others were going to reject it. And that is what the word of God does. But this he was speaking of is spiritual wisdom. Let's again just look at this. He says back in verse 12 again, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. What is this Spirit? It is the Spirit that is given from God. So God gives this in order to work with your mind, to change your mind, to have another mind. That's what salvation means. It means to have another mind, another heart, a changed heart. And so it means that when you sit here, you may not understand everything, but you have a mind to receive it, because it's right. For faith comes by hearing, listening, reading the word of God. So this wisdom is not of the world, but is of the Spirit of God. And man cannot understand this. This is why you haven't got many here in this meeting today, because sadly, most cannot understand it. Why can't they understand? Because the minds are held by the powers of darkness, by the God of this age, who blinds the minds and hearts of many. That's why. So it tells us we receive those things from the Holy Spirit freely that is given to us. That is what he said. That is why you can't pay for this. This is why you can't raise money for this. What you pay is you pay God by giving yourself, your life, your heart, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. Romans 12 verses 1 and 2. That's what you present. That's what you give. And so we're taught and we receive this by the Holy Spirit. Again, Paul speaks of this in Romans 8 verse 15, where he says here, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with all of this, that we are indeed the sons, children of God." So it is a work of the Spirit. He then goes back in 1 Corinthians 2 again, in verse 13, where he says here, "These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." And that is why you have people like me, teachers, who speak spiritual things to spiritual people, who receive this wisdom not from the world, but from God through the Holy Spirit. And that is why when the anointing is with the word of God, there is deliverance with that word. There is healing that accompanies that word. Because that is why God brings us here to heal us. And we have seen over the years, first and foremost, the healing that is taking place with our minds, our thinking, our attitudes. That is where the healing's taking place, as doors are closing. Hence, it's the anointed teaching that works this, you see. And that's why we pray one for another. We stand one with another when we go through the trials and tests, because a lot of your trials and tests are the deliverances that are taking place. And how does God deliver you? How does he get you to think differently in the mind? He takes you through a trial that is related to that attitude, that thinking. If you think back about your trials, most of your trials have been related to your wrong thinking. They are. Let's take, for example, I've got a problem with forgiveness. That's a big one. Forgiveness. I was brought up in an environment, brothers and sisters who didn't forgive one another. Mother and father didn't forgive one another. Their grandparents didn't forgive one another. Always at one another's throat. Always criticizing, gossiping, moaning and groaning about each other and everything. I bring that up because that's the most universal thing in families. And so we pick it up, this unforgiveness. And so you come in, you get born again, God finds your place in this church, and in a little while you find that you have a boss at work who really winds you up the wrong way, and you find you can't forgive him. Unforgiveness. And there the battle is on. The trial is on, because God says you are going to forgive him as I have forgiven you. And it might take a week. It might take 6 months. It might take 3 years. God will keep you in that environment until you fall on your knees. I can't take any more, Lord. And that's what we do. God brings us to the end of ourselves. I can't take any more. I cannot in myself love this person. Please have mercy over me. Help me. Then deliverance, healing starts. Does it not? See? That is our trials. So many of your trials are related to what is going on in your mind, in your thinking. Because God has to work that deliverance, that change of mind, the closing of that door so that the powers of darkness cannot oppress, buffet you any longer. Then he goes on in verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Do your family, friends, think you're foolish? Do they? I hope they do. Because that's a sign you're saved. Rejoice in it. Praise God that you look foolish. You look an idiot. You're embarrassing. Ever been embarrassing? And all about that. Oh dear. Has the family ever tried to shun you? You know, don't give you invites. We've had it. You're foolish. Because you love Jesus. See? The natural man can't receive that. It's foolishness to them. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. He or she can't discern. And that's why God is setting the deliverance in this body like he is, because we have got to discern in these last days what is natural and what is spiritual. In other words, the wisdom and mind of God. Little wonder the powers of darkness are attacking your minds. Why? Because the church has to stand and be prepared for the last great onslaught with the powers of darkness before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords returns. And I find most are asleep in this area. Now, I received a magazine recently, which is a blessing. It's a blessed magazine. I'm not going to go into details because we don't name things here. But in this magazine, there's a great emphasis about the religions that are coming up now and the persecution that these religions are causing to Christians. And the emphasis is about how to pray, and giving you instructions, if you like, to have the right attitude and heart to pray. And that is, we're to pray for those that persecute us, to pray for our loved ones. And that is the emphasis that is given. And I say amen to that. But that is not all what the Bible teaches. There is no emphasis in this magazine that also tells you that we are fighting not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, wickednesses, and that we are to rise up and that we are to start to go into spiritual warfare against these demons that are behind religion. There's no emphasis on that. And do you know why? Because they don't see it. Isn't it sad that, yes, persecution, yes, when you are in prison or you're in a situation, you have the great advantage to pray God's mercy for those that persecute you. Few of us have experienced that one, and I'm not even going to enter that to criticise or to come against it. That we're not fighting against flesh and blood, and that is the point. And the point is, you can only begin to see this as Jesus saw it and the disciples saw it when you begin to go deeper with God. When God begins to do that deliverance with the mind. Because as your mind is being delivered, you're learning something pretty quickly, that is the powers of darkness that held me in that area. And if they can hold me, they can hold others. And you begin to get a revelation of what authority God has given the church in and through the name of Jesus. And that is the point. I find there is so much confusion in Christendom with regard to spiritual warfare and rising up and taking authority over the powers of darkness. Very little of this is understood. And all you hear about is love, love, love. Yes, I'm all for love.
Believe me, my heart goes out for those that are going through trials and tests and persecutions. And yes, we are to pray for them. But I find something within me wants to go even further. Because I know what is causing that also. Jesus knew too well what was working behind the scribes and the Pharisees and Sadducees. He even knew what was working behind Peter. They didn't want him to go to Jerusalem. And he addressed Satan himself to the one he loved. When are we going to wake up to this? Because some still find that that is not loving, it's offensive. No, friends, as if you stay with this, you're going to receive a whole deliverance and a whole message. And as you allow God to work that deliverance in your mind, you're going to realize something within you is going to rise up in spiritual warfare. Because your eyes are going to be opened more and more that this is not about flesh and blood. By any means. And we have to discern this. And this is again what Paul is trying to emphasize. And sadly, I can preach this and some who profess Christ would find this teaching and message foolish this morning. Even offensive. And why is it? Because they're still held in the mind by the powers of darkness. If you really want to start praying effectively for the remnant, start praying that those demons that still hold our brother and sister in the mind, oppressing them, Father, in your mercy, start to work deliverance. And that is why I'm convinced this teaching that God has given us in this church and others is going to be a tremendous teaching of deliverance. I've always believed it, and I've held on to it, and it's going to be in these last days, and that is why Satan attacks like he does. Because it's about your thinking. It is about your attitude. You see? For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. It's what Proverbs says. So here we've just read that in verse 14, the revelation of God, his ways are hid. They're hid from the natural man. And this is one of the tests that you can test whether a man or woman is born of the Spirit or not. What revelation do they have? What revelation do they have of Jesus Christ? That is what you are to test. That is what we are to test. Now you don't get those tests straight away, necessarily. But we are to test. We are to test things. All things are to be tested in the light of the Holy Spirit. I'll go on with this because this is important. Verse 15, but he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. So if you are spiritual, you are to judge just some things. Is that what the Bible says? Yeah? Have I made a mistake? What's the word? Where did I go wrong? What does it say? A-double-L. All things. Now how many do you know who judge all things? And somebody says in the congregation, but you are not to judge. Right? But how have you received that? Have you received that in the natural mind or in the spiritual? Are you naturally thinking as man thinks? Or do you have the wisdom of God? Because the Bible says that the church is to judge righteously. A righteous judgment. That is scriptural. No, you are not to judge your brother or sister because only God will have the final say over their soul. That is wrong. But you are to judge, you are to test all things. And if there's anything I'm going to do as a pastor, I'm going to get you to that place where every one of you is going to judge and test all things. You must, if you are to stand in these last days. Now, let's take this a step further. This judging is discerning. This judging is testing the spirits. And that is what we are to judge. Turn with me to something you know well in this church. 1 John chapter 4 verse 1. I just want to read this to show you that I haven't fallen off my trolley. 1 John chapter 4 verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And then he goes by this testing, knowing that they believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and that new birth is there, and so on. So we're to test, we're to judge, we're to test, it says, these spirits, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now it doesn't necessarily mean that it's an office ministry of prophet or teacher. For many are prophesying. We in fact are experiencing a prophetic generation. Prophesying. Visions, dreams. Joel prophesied of this in the last day. We have prophecies in this assembly. But everything is to be tested, is to be judged. What spirit is behind that? You are to test those things that you hear. You are to test those that call themselves Christians. And then you judge what comes out of their mouth. You listen to it. Sometimes a church, you're not always sure where the church stayed off, what it really believes, what it stands for. So this testing, this judging, prayerfully before God, waiting on God, takes time. I don't find a lot of brothers and sisters do this very often. They're not prepared to wait. They rush straight in and wonder why they make shipwreck of things or things go so wrong. No, we're to test these things. Jesus even warns of this in Matthew 24. I just want to read briefly. Matthew 24. Where he speaks that there will be many, many speaking out in this last day. Matthew 24 verse 5. He says, Matthew 24 verse 5. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ. And will deceive many. I want to tell you something there. And you can take this for what it's worth. I looked at that. And immediately I believe God spoke into my spirit. And he said that also speaks of many who are saying, and the Lord showed me this. And the Lord told me this. And the Lord said that. Now how many believers, Christians, or brothers and sisters do you hear just saying that off the top of their head, oh, the Lord showed me this, or oh, the Lord spoke to me last night, blah, blah, and everything. You've heard it. I've heard it. We've probably even done it ourselves. That's what he's referring to. Many coming in his name. You're using his name. And God isn't even behind it. Isn't even blessing it. How is man gonna, woman going to stand before God when God wasn't even in it? And it is that that you have to test. Even in this body. We have to be wise in what we say. We have to be we have to know that's what God has said, or God has said that to me. And so forth. And it is that that we test. Sometimes you don't know, you just have to shelve. Sometimes people come and say, the Lord said so and so to me, whatever. I said, well, okay, he said it to you, he hasn't said it to me. But I'll leave it with God and we'll wait. But the point I'm saying is, if you are saying that, you have a responsibility. And if that is wrong, God is going to judge you unless you get that right. That is the point. I'm not against the people saying, well, the Lord has told me whatever it is. Just make sure the Lord has told you. Because it's a great responsibility when we're coming using his name. That is what I'm trying to say. And that is what Jesus said many, actually reads most, will do in the last day. Fearful. isn't it? Fearful. And then he says in verse 6, for all that is in... Sorry, let's get back to Corinthians and 1 John. Back in 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, which says in verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So this is our confession of faith. This is what we're enduring for, staying with, as the Holy Spirit works the mind of Christ within us. Isn't that wonderful? That's what he's doing. That's why he brings you here. That is why he brings you under the anointing, brings you with the word of God. So he's working that mind. Whose mind? The mind of Christ in you. And that's why it's deliverance. As he says in John 15, 15, I'll read it quickly. John 15, 15, he says, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Why? That you may have the mind of Christ. All that Jesus says I've heard from my Father, I am manifesting, revealing to you. There's the wisdom of God. Foolishness to the world. You can't receive this by flesh and blood. And that is what you test. When you listen to something, is that logic, is that sensual, is that earthly, then you can't receive it. For I can only receive that which comes from the Father. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. There it is. Why? Because you cannot afford to let your mind be open to that poison. It's not about you being narrow. We've had to test things that come into this church. Tapes that are given to us and everything. We're always open. We're open because we don't believe we're the only ones. God forbid. But we're going to test everything that comes in. And I'm not going to apologize for that. And we've had some subtle things coming in here. You have to wait. Test it. Where is this wisdom coming from? And you begin to realize, no, this is not the wisdom from above. This is man's wisdom. This is man's logic. That's religious, what we're hearing. There's a lot of religion that's mixed today, you see. And that's the Laodiceans' problem, that church. They're blinded to. Do you know what they're blinded to? Because they can't really receive what Jesus is receiving from the Father that he's giving to the church. They're confused. You know why they're confused? Because they're held in the mind. They need their eyes opening. That is the problem. Their eyes need opening. And Jesus says to that church, I counsel you, I challenge you, I plead with you to buy this eye cell that you may see. Do you know what that this eye cell is? This seeing? It's called bowing the knee. That's what it is. That's a spiritual ointment. Humbling yourself. You're proud. Arrogant. Because you're big. Powerful. Wealthy. You think that that is spiritual. And he says, humble yourself because that's the ointment. That's the only ointment for your eyes. It's called the ointment of humility. There you are. That's not scripturally wrong in calling it. That's what it's called, the ointment of humility. Hallelujah. And we have to test these things, and we do, and we're going to. And we've seen how the enemies very, very subtly try to come in and work and sow his seed, that poison. You see, because ministry uses sometimes the words that we use, doesn't necessarily mean that the wisdom they're receiving is from above. That is the point. Satan can speak spiritual things. He can speak the word of God. He can twist it, which he does. He comes as an angel of light. His problem is, he's the father of lies. He's damned. But he can still use the word of God. He can still use it, and he does. So this big battle we have is with the intellect, because it's being fed with the wisdom of the world and unbelief. The what if. See, I'll bring this to a close now. If you share faith, the total faith, to religious people or to man, they'll say, yeah, I hear what you're saying. Yeah, God is able to heal. But what if? There's the intellect. The what if. That's the mind. That's still showing that doors have got to be closed. That's still showing unbelief. And so you can hear that what if coming out in your confession. That's why I keep saying, ask the Lord to cause you to be sensitive to what comes out of your mouth. And you'll hear whether you are in faith or not. For as a man speaks in his heart, so is he. If faith is in the heart, that rest is there. Your confession is there. Your belief is there. The peace is there. If you know that by Jesus' stripes you're healed, you're going to act in accordance to it. Yes, you're going to look foolish. Yes, they're going to put pressure on you. Yes, whatever it is. But if it is there, the corresponding actions are there. The actions, as I've said, for healing may just be the fact, just stay with it, endure, keep coming. Keep under the word, the message, and your day will come. God won't forget. I know you won't forget because I heard that prophecy this morning. God says he loves us. That's why. He won't forget us. But what he is doing first is in this mind. He's unraveling the mind. That string, that ball of string that's in knots, just impossible to try and unravel. Because often I find, you know, if you look at string and it's in a terrible, it's just that feeling, oh, I'm not bothering with that. Just buy another ball of string. It's nowhere. I mean, because you know, fat, you're going to have to sit down for hours. I suppose those that knit as well, if you don't, you know, I suppose those that done knitting have had the same thing where, you know, you pick up a bit of balls of wool or something that's been there for a few years at the bottom of the bag and you get it out and your heart sinks. It's all in knots and you sit for hours trying to unravel this. You know? And this is what God, but it's not impossible with God. That's the point. God says, I can handle it. No problem with me. No problem to me at all. I'm God. So that's the good news of the gospel. See? But be very aware, saints, your mind is under a battle. Guard it. Give it over to God. Confess that you have daily that mind, the mind of Christ. And that is why he's baptized you in the Spirit with tongues, to keep your mind out of it. That's why. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning. Lord, thank you for our fellowship. Thank you that our fellowship is with you and each other. And you love us and receive us into your presence. Lord, I thank you that I believe this word has been received from your heart, been given to Jesus, and Jesus through the Holy Spirit has given it to us. And I believe healing, deliverance is accompanying this teaching. Father, as you setting us free, because we know that that is where our real battle lies now. It's in the mind. Yes, there are some who are going through physical battles, but the real battle is in the mind. And Lord, we thank you that it is in your hands. There's nothing we can do. You said you will put your spirit within us. You will cause us to come alive. You will feed us. You will teach us. You will deliver us. It's just yielding over. It's being available. It's not resisting you. It's just letting you touch us. And as you close those doors, so that the powers of darkness can no longer oppress anymore. And you've shown us what we're to do. We're to walk humbly before you. So Father, be with us. Bless us. Preserve us through this week. Till we come together again. In Jesus' name. Amen.